House Ag will come to order. Will the clerk please take roll?
Chair Kazmaier?
Here.
Vice Chair Dooling?
Here.
Vice Chair Olson?
Here.
Representative Anderson?
Here.
Representative Beard?
Here. She's here. Yep.
Representative Binkley?
Excuse.
Representative Curdy?
Here.
Representative Funk?
Here.
Representative Knutson?
Excused.
Representative Lear?
Here.
Representative Malone?
Here.
Representative Marshall?
Here.
Representative McCamey?
Here.
Representative Smith?
Here.
Representative Sullivan?
Here.
Representative Walsh?
Here.
Representative Whiteman-Pena?
Here.
All right, a quorum is present, and we will now move into executive action on the two bills, Senate Bill 58 and House Bill 294. Without objection from the committee, is everybody okay with that? Okay, Representative Olson, are you okay with that? To move right into EA?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay. If you guys need time, we can take 5 minutes or so, but if you're good, we'll move right into it. So... okay. Can we have a motion, Julie, move House Bill 294?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 294 do pass.
And the motion on the table is to pass House Bill 294. Is there any discussion on that bill? Okay. Representative Olson, you got a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just hoping that you might read the title and what is happening in the bill, just for everybody's, to stay on the same page. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, no problem. Ms. Hawk, would you mind giving us a recap on that bill?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. And this is for House Bill 294?
Yes.
House Bill 294 is the act revising fees for agricultural seed licenses. It basically gives the department more leeway to adjust license fees for different types of seeds.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Hawk. Is there any other questions? Does that help? Vice Chair Olson? Okay. Okay. Any other discussion on House Bill 294? Representative McCamey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a really important bill. It's a good bill. It needs to happen. So I just absolutely support it.
Thank you, Representative McCamey. Okay.
Question?
Okay. Question has been called, non-debatable. Can we do a voice vote? Can we? All right. We'll try it. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed? Proxies?
Mr. Chair, Representative Casey Knutson votes aye by proxy, and Representative Binkley votes aye by proxy.
Okay. The motion passes unanimously.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Sorry. Representative Sullivan is aye by proxy.
Okay. She's on there. She was on there.
Representative Curdy, I believe. Oh, Representative Sullivan is here.
Yeah. She,
I'm on.
Yeah.
Thank you, though, Willis.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. House Bill 294 has passed out of committee. Is there any volunteers to carry that bill on the House floor? Oh, wait. It's Ross. Never mind. Sorry. Thought it was a Senate bill for a second. Okay, we'll move on to executive action on Senate Bill 58.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 58 do concur.
Okay, is there any questions from the committee on Senate Bill 58? Just for a recap, this bill is just providing some more money for the Livestock Loss Board. of $100,000. So is there any questions on that?
Question
has been called. Can we do a voice vote on this? Try it. Okay. Well, it's all in favor of passing Senate Bill 58. Say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. Proxies.
Mr. Chair, Representative Casey Knutson votes aye by proxy, and Representative Binkley votes aye by proxy.
Thank you. Looks like it has passed unanimously, so Senate Bill 58 has passed out of committee, and I will carry that bill. All right, committee, now we will move into hearing three bills today, House Bill 82, House Bill 318, and House Bill 302. It's going to be another long and interesting committee. Please remember to silence your phones, and please, if you're testifying, sign in at the door as an opponent, proponent, or informational witness. We will now hear House Bill 82. Representative Walsh, would you like to open on your bill?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Ken Walsh, representative from House District Number 71, southwestern Montana, mostly Madison County. Today, I bring to you House Bill 82 by the request of the Department of Ag. It clarifies language related to the administrative expense caps on funds used by the department in relation to the Montana Pulse Crop Committee. The Pulse Crop Committee consists of five Montana Pulse Crop producers appointed by the governor and three ex officio members, including the department director, the dean of ag at MSU, and an industry representative. The department administers the Pulse Research and Market Development Program, which is funded by a 1% checkoff on all Montana-grown pulse crops. Checkoff funds are allocated each year. The committee decides how to invest the checkoff dollars to fund research, marketing, and education. The department incurs costs to administer the program. This new language provides for an 8% cap, removes the 8% caps, and replaces what language dictating that any costs charged by the department must have substantial relationship to the cost of services provided. In practice, this changes the results of the greater committee results in greater committee oversight of the department spending. Members of the committee, there is an amendment that could be forthcoming, and with that, I'll stand for questions, and the department people are here if there's any questions to be asked.
Thank you, Representative Walsh. Okay, we'll move on to proponents. Is there any proponents in the room? See none. Is there any proponents online, Ms. Wayne?
No, Mr. Chair, there are no proponents online.
Okay. Is there no proponents? Okay. Any opponents in the room? Opponents?
Mr. Chair and the committee, Representative Jerry Schillinger, House District 37. I'm not sure which side I should be on here, Mr. Chairman. What I'd like to speak to is the amendment that would be coming on the bill. For a little background, I was originally one of the testifiers when this law was passed back here a few years ago. And originally, we wrote into the bill a max of 8% of the checkoff could be used for administrative fees. A maximum could be of that. But at the time, the checkoff was a relatively small amount, and since then, it's grown from anywhere from $1 million to $3 million a year. So it runs into quite a bit of money, and we'd hope that the department would exercise a little more discretion in the amount of money that they requested to administer it. So to get right to the point, our neighboring states North Dakota, Idaho, and Washington, it costs them anywhere from about $28,000 a year up to a high of about $38,000 a year to administer a program similar to ours. And in recent years, the last couple of years, it's been anywhere from $75,000 roughly to about $125,000 here in Montana. And so we decided we need to make some changes to that. All of these checkoff funds are essentially a levy that we as producers levy on ourselves. I'm a pulse producer too, so my son and I on our farm, we pay into this fund. And 1% is a relatively high checkoff. In wheat, it's only a couple of pennies a bushel, whereas 1% of $15 ends up being a pretty healthy checkoff on every bushel. So anyway, the amendment that I see coming is two things, and I support that, is one, to lower that cap to 4%. And the other thing that's really important is that it ensures that the committee has the final say on services that they receive and pay for. Another issue we ran into in prior years of prior directors has no reflection on this administration is a director that chose to override committee decisions on funding research and reward projects that have been rejected a number of times by the committee. So it just is really important to add some protection to the growers, to us who put our money forward for research and marketing. So I would appreciate your support of the amended bill that's coming forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Schillinger. Is there any other opponents? Okay. Informational witnesses. See none in the room. Is there some online, Ms. Swain?
Mr. Chair, we have Court Jensen.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Court Jensen, CORTJENSEN, here on behalf of the Department of Agriculture. Cindy Tripp is also here from our department with answers to any of the financial questions you might have. I'm here for any of the other questions. We are informational for a bill that we originally requested, because the Pulse Committee itself, after the bill had gone through the interim process, decided that they no longer necessarily were in 100% or majority agreement on what they wanted to have happen, and therefore we can't, as a department, put forward that they would support it, and therefore we're just here informationally.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Jensen. Any other informational witnesses?
Yes, Mr. Chair, we have Cindy Trimp.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Cindy Trimp, T-R-I-M-P, and I'm the Central Services Administrator for the Montana Department of Agriculture. I'm here if you should have any fiscal questions, and I'm stand ready and available. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mrs. Trimp. All right, is there any questions from the committee? Representative McKamey, you have a question?
Yes, I do.
Yep, go ahead.
For Mr. Schillinger, please.
Mr. Chair, Representative?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative Schillinger, this is a rather unusual thing. To see the cap go down from 8% to 4% is what you want, is that correct?
Correct.
And explain again why you want that.
Well, even at that level, it would provide the possibility for a substantially higher administrative reimbursement to the department if the committee approved it than what similar type services for committees in our neighboring states are paying for to the organizations that administer their funds.
Okay, Okay, follow-up, please.
Follow-up.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, Mr. Schillinger, I'm very familiar with marketing and ag marketing in particular and interstate marketing and the costs of marketing, and I wanted to know if this has to do with marketing.
Mr. Chair, Representative McCamey? I always get that wrong, sorry.
McCamey. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, and she's my seatmate besides. So. No, the state doesn't market. It's the committee decides how to allocate their funds between marketing, which usually goes through the U.S. Dry Pea and Little Association. They do it on a national, international level. And they allocate the most significant portion of their funds to that, and then a very significant portion of funds to research, which are done by universities, whether it be MSU or NDSU or Idaho or the Washington Research Center, any number of them. So the primary services, and I would just give us a little bit of informational background, too. I was the president of the Northern Pulse Growers for 2 years. That's a joint group of North Dakota and Montana farmers that is a marketing informational organization made up of farmers from primarily Montana and North Dakota. So our grower groups has kind of evolved over the years, and initially it was small groups like ours, and then the national and international. And so that's what takes care of the vast majority of the needs for our funds. What the state does, to get back to your question, is collects the check off, and that's done by the first buyer of the product, of my peas, my lentils, my chickpeas, sends in 1% to the state. Okay, and then I, as a producer, have the right, if I would choose not to want to participate in the checkoff, to request a refund. Okay, so then the state would also be responsible, the department, to do the refund. In addition to that, they help organize pulse meetings. When the pulse committee has a meeting, the department will help organize that. And, secure the facilities and send out the notices and things like that. And there's some other administrative details as well. Typically, one thing I noticed, a real difference between Montana and North Dakota from my years with the Pulse Growers, is typically there's always an attorney present from the department, which costs money, and they never did, in North Dakota or the other departments. So I think it's important that the committee has the right to choose just how much service they want.
Okay. That generated another question. Mr. Chair, I'd like to ask another follow-up, please.
Yeah, follow-up.
Thank you. Mr. Schillinger, so you're not satisfied with being able to take what is being offered by the department as far as services, is my understanding. But on the research end, I would hate to put a cap on anything that would block research. I would think that you'd want research. Don't you want research? Isn't this going to research as well?
Mr. Chair, Representative, good question. I'm glad you raised that, because this has nothing to do with that, with the research or the marketing. The only thing the cap has to do with is just administrative expenses that the department provides to the committee. The committee contracts or lets awards to researchers, and they award most of their marketing money to the U.S. dry pea and lentils. So really, the function of the Department of Ag for this is just an administrative function.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Schillinger. Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Any other questions? Vice Chair Olson, you have a question?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for Mr. Jensen, please.
Mr. Chair, Representative Olson.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Jensen, I guess my question comes into your statement that there's agreement and disagreement. So I'm wondering if you can give a synopsis of the agreement and the disagreement. And then if you could explain the effect of the bill change on the department's administration and the effect that the amendment would have, whether that would be better or worse on the department. Thank you, Mr. Jensen.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Olson, the amendment does lower the amount the department would charge as administrative costs. Part of the trouble and one of the original purposes of the bill was actually to clarify, was to move away from that weird 8% administrative cap and use the language that's true of all other committees, including the Wheat and Barley Committee. And it really is to reference if you look at the original bill, it references back to a part of the other part of the bill, which references back to the general rules on administrative costs for boards. What we heard from our board was that they wanted more hands-on direct control of their money, which was certainly true, and is certainly what Representative Schillinger is saying as well. They didn't necessarily object to the particular costs, although I certainly imagine some of them would of any particular costs, especially with some of the stuff of the previous administration. Obviously, the new administration hasn't had a chance to engage in that way. The cap would lower the amount we could charge, but realize that one of the differences between the Pulse Committee and Wheat and Barley is Wheat and Barley has its own staff. One of the questions the Pulse Committee had asked us in the interim was, what if they hired by contract or by other arrangement a staff person and took some of the duties the department was doing and move it to a staff? And we said there's a little bit of a disagreement on whether that staffing of the committee would be an administrative cost if it was paid directly. We assumed it would not be, but we felt that because there was a level of non-distinctiveness, that should go back to the legislature. Have that level of clarity. But the committee members basically had met, and we can't say what their clear opinion is on the bill, the amendment, or anything else, which is why we had moved away from being a proponent into just being informational.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
So, Mr. Chair, Mr. Jensen, so to be, I think I'm getting clear now. So the way this bill is written is to actually bring this board and the administrative costs that go into servicing the board in line with the administrative costs that are allowed in any other board. Is that what I'm hearing, Mr. Jensen?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Olson, that was certainly the original intent, but I don't know because of the board's lack of agreement whether I can say we reached it to the level that the Pulse board, who's actually affected by this, would agree with it as a whole. This was brought on behalf of the Pulse board. I'm trying to really carefully say that we want to do with the Pulse board itself. This is their money. And right now they lack a firm belief one way or the other on anything. So I don't want to commit them or claim to speak for them when I don't have a clear quorum from them.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Jensen. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other questions? All right. Representative Walsh, would you like to close on your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I think Mr. Jensen kind of summarized where we're at today. So I was asked to introduce this bill, and at the time we thought there was consensus from the Pulse Committee of how they wanted to proceed. And with the conversation with Representative Schillinger, I proposed the amendment. But to be honest with you, I haven't really ever got any feedback from the rest of the Pulse Committee. So I think it's kind of in limbo where we might move from here. But With that, I'll ask you to consider the bill, and we can go from there. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Walsh. This closes the hearing on House Bill 82. Okay, we'll give him time. All right, now we will move in. We will open the hearing on House Bill 318. Representative Holmland, would you like to open on your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Ken Holmland, H-O-L-M-L-U-N-D, Representative, House District 38 in Miles City. I bring to you today House Bill 318, a bill entitled An Act Revising Wild Buffalo, Wild Bison Laws, clarifying the definition of wild buffalo or wild bison, clarifying the per capita fee does not apply to certain domestic bison. Okay, by definition, in Section 1, if you look at line 14, or actually we'll start on line 12, it says a per capita fee is authorized and directed to be imposed on all, and then we'll go down to 14, livestock 9 months or of age or older. That means that the livestock is going to be covered. But there is a caveat. A per capita fee, this is line 17, per capita fee may not be imposed on bison owned by a tribal member and located on fee land or tribal land within the boundaries of a reservation. So they do not pay per capita. On line 21, it says livestock. Line 22, it includes domestic bison. So we get to the real meat of the bill, which is actually one line. That is on line 13 and several other places located throughout the bill. Whenever you present a bill that modifies more than one section of code, they must all be listed, so that accounts for why there is a continual repeating and repeating of the same information. I'm not going to go through it four or five times. Okay, domestic bison, line 7, domestic bison means a bison that has not a wild buffalo or wild bison. Now, by definition, a wild buffalo or wild bison means a bison that, and it has all three of them, this is an and, has not been reduced to captivity, B, has not been subject to per capita fee under 1524.921, and has never been owned by a person. An example of this is on part B is that APR does pay per capita on their animals. So what we're doing is that we're making it so that the person that has either a buffalo, I mean, it's either been in captivity per capita or has been owned by a person, cannot be classified as a wild buffalo or a wild bison. Another thing to consider, we had a gentleman in Miles City who actually raised buffalo, and a concern that with it, if they were to be let go, they could have been exposed to some kind of diseases that might even wipe out a whole herd of wild buffalo, wild bison, because they do not have the immunity to the diseases that these domesticated animals could be subjected to. Again, you'll see the same line several places where the never been per capita is, but it's all in the same vein because of the different locations in MCA. Okay, I will sit and listen to people, proponents and opponents.
All right, thank you, Representative Holman. Okay, here, before we get going, we have 14 online opponents. I know we have some in the room, maybe in the hall, and we have proponents. So I'm going to try to limit it to 35 per side, 35 minutes per side. So that's about 2 minutes. So let's be mindful and not take up everybody's time. Proponents, please.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Jason Riddle, R-I-T-T-A-L. I'm the Deputy Director of the Montana Association of Counties. Stand before you in support of House Bill 318. This bill is a piece of MACO legislation brought forward by Garfield County, vetted by our membership to be turned into legislation, which we thank Representative Holmland for carrying on our behalf. What's the bill about? It's pretty simple. Representative Holmland explained most of it. It clarifies that buffalo or bison that have been or are subject to the per capita fee are not and nor will they be considered wild. Puts a uniform definition of what is a wild buffalo or a wild bison into the statute. And the reason it's important is the legislation reinforces and further clarifies the distinction between a domestic bison and a wild buffalo or wild bison. And then once that differentiation is made by having one of the following occurrences, it's either reduced to captivity, it's owned by a person, or it has been subjected to the per capita fee, it's no longer a wild bison. It's that simple. That's what this legislation does. We hope for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Next proponent in the room, please.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Bob Gilbert, G-I-L-B-E-R-T. I'm here today on behalf of Phillips County in support of this bill. It's a tough situation to define this. I go back into the legislature back in the late 80s when bison were first described as livestock, and it's been a battle ever since. So I think we've got a vehicle that at least starts us down the road to getting a proper definition for wild bison. It may need some changes, but study it closely. It's a good idea, and it's something we need to work on. Thank you.
Thank you. Next proponent, please.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Jay Bodner, B-O-D-N-E-R, representing the Montana Stock Growers Association. We also stand in support of House Bill 318. I'd like to thank the sponsor and Mr. Riddle for walking through the bill. I think there are just a couple of additions that I would point out. It is mentioned that there are a number of sections in here. Section 2, as you look at, that's Title 81. That's dealing with the livestock code. And then Section 3 is 87, which that deals with the FWP or Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. That deals with their code. I think the other thing that's important to also point out is when we look at the clarifications of not reduced to captivity, not subject to the per capita fee, and never been owned by a person, the person definition is also in this bill, and it is on page 6, line 19. And so I think it is important just to look at that. It means an individual, an association, a partnership, and a corporation. So we think this is a good bill. We do appreciate this and look for your strong support. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Next proponent, please.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Nicole Rolf, R-O-L-F, representing the Montana Farm Bureau Federation. And we are also here today to support House Bill 318. Thank the sponsor and the MACO for bringing this bill forward again, because it does two very important things. It clarifies two important definitions, and it's simple, a simple bill in the fact that that's what it does. And Mr. Riddle did a great job talking through how it works, and Mr. Bodner explained which sections it's in. I would just offer back, if you step back a little bit, for those of you who don't know, a per capita fee is a fee that livestock owners pay on our livestock to the department to provide services back to livestock producers. So, and actually it's time for us to be reporting our per capita numbers to the department right now. And if you are curious, you can look on the department's website, and it shows all the different types of livestock that pay the per capita and what the numbers are, and also maps of where those livestock are located in our state. So a great resource there if you're curious. This is a good, great bill, and so I'll be brief and just say please support House Bill 318. Thanks.
Thank you. Next proponent, please.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Chuck Deneau, spelled D-E-N-O-W-H. You're on behalf of United Property Owners of Montana. I would just say this is a really important bill for landowners. We've been trying for several sessions now to bring some clarity to the definition of wild bison. And we, you know, as more and more bison are in Montana and more places, it becomes all the more important that we have some clarity in these definitions and across the different sections. So we urge your support.
Thank you. Next proponent in the room. Is there a proponent online, Ms. Wayne?
Yes, Mr. Chair, we have one proponent online, Jerry Collins.
Mr. Chair, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Jerry Collins, a commissioner in Garfield County. We're the ones that kind of started this bill through MACO. I appreciate Ken Homeland carrying the bill last time and this time too, and I'll be brief on the reason I do it. It's because of the per capita fee. The reason for the per capita fee that I feel is to help the operation of the Department of Livestock, and in that operation is the lab, state lab, and I've thought about the state lab a lot and how the designated surveillance areas for brucellosis and now chronic wasting disease is getting bigger, and they're having to do more testing, and I'm glad that they can test for chronic wasting disease now. It helps the hunters out because it doesn't have to be sent out of state. But it's strictly because of the per capita fee, also because of the ag is the number one industry in Garfield County, and so anything to help out Garfield County ag producers, I support. And so I have a lot more to talk about. Like last year, 2 years ago, I went out in the weeds and had to explain to Senator Hoban and a few of them what I actually meant. But it's for the operation of the Department of Livestock. And I thank you for letting me talk. Thank you.
Thank you. That was the only proponent online, Ms. Wayne.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. We will move in to opponents in the room. Is there opponents in the room?
Mr. Chair, committee, my name is Mike Fox, senator from Senate District 16, Frank Smith's old district. My district takes in Rocky Boy, Fort Belknap, and Fort Peck reservations. We're opposed to this bill because it muddies the water of trying to deal with the Yellowstone problem that, you know, we've been dealing with this for the past 25, 30 years or so. And Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Yellowstone National Park, they've had a plan all this time to help deal with that situation down there, and the tribes have been helping them out with it. And we think these changing this definition will put some barriers up that, you know, that will help slow the plan down and help us slow down dealing with the problem. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Next opponent in the room. Is there any other opponents in the room?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Mike Nelson. Am I in order?
Yeah, just spell your last name, please.
Nelson. I'm loosely representing the Buffalo Field Campaign, doing some of the work that the senator just mentioned. Down in the greater Yellowstone area. One of the members of that organization sent me this photo from just a few days ago of wild buffalo, wild bison in the Hebgen Basin area, roaming free in that area. And I believe that this bill is not as simply as redefining, because you cannot simply say that something that lives, something that is living, breathing, and existing, simply by changing a definition, you can not say that it's now extinct. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Is there any other opponents in the room? Seeing none, we will move to opponents online. Who do we have online, Ms. Wayne?
Mr. Chair, we have Chamis Anderson.
Chairman Kazmaier, members of the committee, I'm Chamis Anderson, Chamois Anderson with an SEN, senior representative of Defenders of Wildlife. House Bill 318, clarification of bison definition, will make it challenging for bison to be restored or provided to supplement or build up conservation herds in Montana. With what is essentially a dual listing of bison managed as wildlife and livestock, the state has the ability to manage these animals for both purposes and on public lands such as BLM and National Wildlife Refuge lands. But with this bison definition bill, any animals that were previously managed on grazing leased lands such as BLM means that these animals could not then be transferred to other public lands to be managed as wildlife. So even though they were classified under a grazing lease and managed as wildlife on public lands, they can't be transferred to other public lands. Bottom line, this bill limits the state's ability to manage bison as wildlife, which goes against what the majority of Montanans, 76% in recent polling, have expressed in favor for bison to be restored in the state. Please vote no on House Bill 318. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next opponent, Ms. Swain.
Mr. Chair, we have Thomas Elpel.
Yes. Hello, Mr. Chairman and committee. Thank you. Two main concerns here. The first is that the wording of the bill could be interpreted to mean that, say, if Yellowstone bison went into a pen for transfer to another location, they would cease to be wild bison the moment that they went into the pen. So they would no longer be wild, you know, wild bison when they arrived at a destination. So this would be like saying that a bighorn sheep or a moose, if FWP moved it from one location to another, it was now a domestic sheep or a domestic moose. And that's obviously ridiculous. The other thing is that the wording is ambiguous enough that the conversations I've had with different people, we end up debating it. Well, what does this mean? Could it be interpreted this way? Could it be interpreted that way? And I think as long as the wording is ambiguous, then we don't know what the bill says, and that it needs clarification so that the bill, so it's well defined. Otherwise, it just ends up going to the courts to determine what does the bill actually mean. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Next opponent online, Ms. Wayne.
Mr. Chair, we have Floyd Azur.
Good afternoon, Chairman Kazmir and members of the committee. My name is Floyd Azure, FLOYDAZURE. I am the chairman of the Assiniboine and Sioux Tribes of the Fort Peck Indian Reservation. I ask the committee to table House Bill 318. Buffalo are incredibly important to my people. Our tribes have two buffalo herds and participate in the Yellowstone Buffalo Conservation Transfer Program. We treat our buffalo as wildlife. They roam on large pastures where they can eat grass, form social groups, and breed on their own. These pastures are located on tribal trust land within the reservation. Most of our buffalo are now Yellowstone buffalo and their offspring. They still have those pure wild genetics and behaviors of the buffalo our ancestors lived with. However, House Bill 318 would require the tribe to pay a per capita fee on the buffalo on the tribe's own. Page 1, line 17 of the bill excludes the fee for tribal members, but our reservation, our buffalo, are managed by the tribes for the benefit of all our members. Fort Peck tribes are a sovereign and domestic dependent nation and have sole jurisdiction for the management of buffalo on reservation. The state cannot impose a fee on the tribes for wildlife resources on trust lands. On page 1, lines 14 to 16, the bill states the fees help pay the salaries and all expenses connected with the enforcement of the livestock laws of the state. But the department does not help the management of the buffalo on the reservation, and the state does not have jurisdiction to enforce its livestock laws on wildlife on tribal trust lands. House Bill 318 unlawfully seeks to impose the per capita fee on tribes' wild buffalo on trust lands. Therefore, I ask you to vote no on House Bill 318. Thank you.
Thank you. Next opponent online, Ms. Wayne, please.
Mr. Chair, we have Matt Liao.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Matt Liao. Last name is spelled L-E-O-W, and I am here representing the Montana chapter of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers in opposition to House Bill 318. By redefining wild bison as animals that have never been reduced to captivity, or subject to a per capita fee, essentially livestock, at any moment in their life history, 318 would effectively stop the relocation of any wild bison in Montana. Bison are required to be held in captivity and quarantine before being relocated to mitigate the possible spread of brucellosis. If House Bill 318 becomes law, those bison would never again qualify as wild. We firmly believe these issues are better handled by the experts at Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, bringing the expertise of wildlife managers and biologists to make well-informed decisions about managing wildlife in Montana. We ask that you table House Bill 318. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we'll go to the next opponent online.
Mr. Chair, we have Eric Cluis.
Mr. Chairman, members of the House Committee, my name is Eric Cluis. I'm here representing the Montana Wildlife Federation. MWF opposes this bill. This bill is unnecessary and has all the appearances of aiming to narrow the definition of wild bison to the point that reintroduction of a wild herd in Montana would be impossible. After several readings of this bill, we can really find no reason as to the purpose or need for this bill. Wild bison are a public trust natural resource that the people of Montana desire to have on our landscape. So for those reasons, we ask that you table House Bill 318. Thank you.
Thank you. Next opponent, please.
Mr. Chair, we have Brooke Schifrin.
Chairman Kazmaier and members of the committee, my name is Brooke Schifrin, S-H-I-F-R-I-N. And I'm here representing Greater Yellowstone Coalition and our 7,000 supporters in Montana in opposition to House Bill 318. This bill would introduce confusion and uncertainty around the definition of wild bison. And our concern is that if this bill became law, wild bison could be inappropriately deemed domestic and in turn disqualified from use to restore public wild bison herds in Montana. And in doing so, this bill could limit the state's ability and authority to manage bison as wildlife. So we ask that you oppose this bill, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay. Next opponent online.
Mr. Chair, we have Kit Fisher.
Chairman Kazmaier, members of the committee, my name is Kit Fisher, K-I-T-F-I-S-C-H-E-R. I'm the Director of Wildlife Programs of the National Wildlife Federation. We stand in opposition to House Bill 318. While well-intentioned, this bill does further muddy the waters of the definition of bison. As you know, there's been plenty of acrimony and opposition towards the restoration of bison in Montana over the past decade or more. And there has been a large public process. The department finalized plans last year, leaving open what a process would look like for public participation in future bison restoration efforts. This is an end around to more than a decade of collaborative efforts between sportsmen, conservationists, and landowners. We urge a do not pass.
Thank you. Next opponent, please.
Mr. Chair, we have Amy Seaman.
Hello, Chairman Kazmaier, members of the committee. Amy Seaman, S-E-A-M-A-N, here on behalf of Montana Audubon, also in opposition to House Bill 318. Hopefully you can hear well. I think I missed a little bit there. My computer froze, so I apologize if I do repeat something, but I think following off of the last opponent, we just wanted to mention a bit of, you know, thinking about the work that Montana has done to, unique work that Montana has done to create workable conservation and livestock status, or I should say wildlife and livestock status for this animal that can really support conservation, but also the domestic livestock industry as it moves forward. And I think it is important to think that a lot of the other states that surrounding us, I mean, they haven't been as involved in this issue, but because we've been so embroiled in it, there has been a ton of work done, you know, as past almost a decade, I guess, now ago, this bison plan to make sure we could work with two workable definitions in Montana to make sure, basically to make sure things can operate and keep the operation of both wildlife and livestock, I would say, creating some tolerance, because we definitely agree that this classification scheme does complicate some of the issues, especially because there's a lot of public interest, private property rights
at play, but also the thought of having intact ecosystems. And that's why our organization is so concerned, because we support all native species being intact in our ecosystems here. And we should be really proud of what we've done in Montana, that most of our species still are present on the landscape. And we agree with the proponents that mentioned some of the geographic complications that this has, where across the state there are essentially herds that can be treated differently. And we hope that we can just have them both operating alongside each other. And again, sorry if we missed something, but we're here and happy to answer questions and appreciate being here to testify. But do just also urge no vote on this bill to not complicate measures. And to that effect, it'd be great to hear during the hearing the exact problems that necessitate the need for this bill. So with that, we urge a no vote, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Next opponent online.
Mr. Chair, we have Lori Little Dog.
Yes, good afternoon, Chair Kazmaier and committee. This is Lori Little Dog, and I rise in opposition to House Bill 3.
Can you spell your last name, please? Sorry. Don't mean to interrupt.
I'm sorry?
Can you spell your last name, please?
Sure. It's LitteLeDog.
Thank you.
Sure. So I rise in opposition to House Bill 318. I have some concerns with the bottom of page one. It mentions MCA 81-8-101, section 2. It's on line 25. Anyway, that was a repealed, like that whole section is repealed. And so my concern is just underscoring like what happens when this new definition is inserted into something that has been repealed but might come back in the future. And I just wanted to share with you, just on behalf of the next generation, I have a little boy that was asking questions about these bison bills. And it just brought up a really basic rudimentary fundamental philosophy on how humans, like he asked, you know, well, how come who a bison is, why are humans able to imprint things like laws on defining what a wild bison is? And we talked about how a wild bison is, you know, is a majestic animal that hasn't been reduced to captivity and not owned by a person. So, you know, the question remains, why should we include in bison identity per cap fees, according to MCA 15-24-921? And we also confer with what concur with Fred Azure's comments. So that's all we have. Thank you.
Thank you. Next opponent, please.
Mr. Chair, we have Irvin Carlson.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Good afternoon, Chairman Kazmaier and members of the committee. My name is Irvin Carlson, C-A-R-L-S-O-N. I'm an enrolled member of the Blackfeet Nation, and I'm also the director of the Blackfeet Buffalo Program and president of the Intertribal Buffalo Council. I ask the committee to vote no on House Bill 318. Buffalo are very important to my people. We consider our buffalo to be wildlife. They roam on a large pasture on tribal trust land where they can eat grass, form social groups, and breed on their own. HB 318's definition of a wild buffalo is vague and should not be interpreted to apply to tribes. First, what does it mean for a buffalo to be reduced to captivity? Our buffalo are held behind a fence to prevent them from getting on private property, but they will always exhibit wild behaviors. I know I sure wouldn't want to try to milk one. Anyway, second, our herd requires new genetics to prevent inbreeding and genetic drift. This requires introducing new buffalo into the herd. If our tribe introduces a buffalo that was once subject to the per capita fee into our tribal herd, then does the tribe have to pay the fee to the state for that buffalo? Because the Blackfeet Nation is a sovereign domestic dependent nation, it is not subject to state taxation on tribal trust lands. Also, the state cannot tax wildlife on the reservation because they are a federally protected trust resource. Finally, HB 318 says a buffalo is not wild if it has been owned by a person. But pages 3 and 6 of the bill says a person could be an individual, association, partnership, or corporation. We get our buffalo from other tribes, national parks, conservation organizations, and private parties. Under HB 318, conservation organizations and private parties could be persons, but tribes and parks are not. Would the tribe have to keep records of which buffalo are which? What about their offspring? The state cannot tax buffalo on tribal lands, but HB 318 leaves too much doubt to determine what is a wild buffalo. Therefore, I ask that you table HB 318, and I thank you very much.
Thank you. Next opponent, please.
Mr. Chair, we have Majel Russell.
Good afternoon, Chairman Kastner and members of the committee. My name is Majel Russell, R-U-S-S-E-L-L. I am legal counsel for Fort Peck, Assiniboine and Sioux Tribes, and the Intertribal Buffalo Council. I ask the committee to vote no on House Bill 318. House Bill 318 seeks to redesignate tribal buffalo as livestock and then appears to impose an illegal tax on tribes. I remind the committee that under the Montana Constitution, there is a declaration that all lands owned or held by an Indian or Indian tribe shall remain under the absolute jurisdiction and control of the Congress of the United States and will continue in full force and effect until revoked by the United States and the people of Montana. In addition to that, Montana has enacted MCA 21-1304, Rights, Privileges, and Immunities Reserved to Indians. And it says, nothing in this part shall authorize regulation of the use of such property in a manner inconsistent with any federal treaty, agreement, or statute, or with any regulation made pursuant to, to deprive any Indian or Indian tribe, band, or community of any right, privilege, or immunity with those lands. This bill, well, there is an exception that seems to be built in for a tribal member that would have buffalo within the reservation of the reservation boundaries. That definition doesn't include the tribe itself. So it appears that when the tribe has a buffalo herd, there's ambiguity about whether or not the state would expect them to pay a tax. Obviously, the tax would be unconstitutional, and that would result in lots of concern and possibly litigation. Also, I want to reiterate that for the Intertribal Buffalo Council, as well as tribes, we do receive buffalo from a variety of sources. Tribes are trying to restore buffalo to their tribal lands in a variety of ways, and sometimes they may obtain animals from a private person who may have had those animals in captivity according to this proposed definition. That would create ambiguity on whether or not that animal can be wild again. And it sounds like from everybody that's read this bill, it would foreclose that buffalo from ever be considered wild again after someone has held it in captivity. So for the reasons that I've mentioned, I would support that you vote no on this bill. I think it is ambiguous. I think it conflicts with the Montana Constitution and Montana law. I also think that there was no consultation with tribes once again under the state tribal relations policy, which requires that tribes be consulted if they're going to be impacted. And so for those reasons, I would ask that you table HB 318. Thank you.
Thank you. Next opponent.
Mr. Chair, we have Daniel Wenner.
Good afternoon, Chairman Kastmeyer and members of the committee. My name is Dan Wenner, W-E-N-N-E-R. I'm also legal counsel for the Fort Peck Tribes and the Intertribal Buffalo Council. I ask you today to vote no on House Bill 318. As has already been said, HB 318 tries to define all buffalo as livestock, and then attempts to subject any owner of a buffalo to a per capita fee. As Ms. Russell said, tribes are concerned about transporting and receiving buffalo from private herds that would be subject to a per cap fee, but treat them as wildlife. And then HB 318 would exclude tribes and require them to pay the per cap fee on their buffalo, which is in fact a tax on tribes, which is unconstitutional under the Montana and United States Constitution. Therefore, I ask you to vote no on House Bill 318.
Thank you. Next opponent.
Mr. Chair, our last opponent online is James Bailey.
Mr. Chairman, now can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Thank you. My name is Jim Bailey. I'm a coordinator of the Montana Wild Bison Restoration Coalition.
Excuse me, can you spell your last name, please?
Pardon?
Could you spell your last name for the committee, please?
B as in boy, A-I-L-E-Y.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm coordinator of the Montana Wild Bison Restoration Coalition. And I registered to comment both on this bill and on 302. Some of my comments on 302 apply to this bill as well, but I don't intend to repeat them. House Bill 318, to clarify the legal definition of wild bison, has no clear purpose. It provides no clarity in that it persists in defining wild bison only in terms of what they are not, neglecting what bison are. What wild bison are. They are a public trust natural resource. There seems to be no explanation of any problem that House Bill 318 is attempting to alleviate. We view House Bill 318 as an unintended, worse, veiled attempt to outlaw any possible restoration of public trust wild bison in Montana. It would accomplish this by creating a definition of public wild bison that is so narrow as to preclude all possible bison from being used in any possible bison restoration project. House Bill 318 emphasizes that wild bison have never been in captivity. South of Canada, almost all public bison are now in captivity behind fencing. Exceptions are in Yellowstone, Jackson Valley, and in Utah. However, even these non-captive bison would have to be captured and penned for quarantine for at least a year, or captured and penned for disease testing and transportation under the law already passed by the legislature. Thus, it would no longer be wild bison managed by Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, and could not become a wild bison in any new home following transplant. As noted above, all possible bison would be excluded for any restoration of public trust wild bison in Montana. And I note, there are no public trust wild bison year-round in Montana now. Our only wild bison are but seasonal visitors from Wyoming. Wild bison remain extirpated from Montana. The suggestion that a domestic bison or any bison that has ever been in captivity cannot become a wild bison has no basis in biology. If necessary at all, HB 318 could be improved by amendment to convert A, B, and C, repeated three times in the bill, in the proposed definition of wild bison, from the past tense to the present tense. Greater improvement still could be added by describing what wild bison actually are in a new D. And that D is, wild bison is a public trust natural resource. House Bill 318 does not appear to accomplish anything except make restoration of public trust wild bison in Montana impossible. It should be rejected or amended. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. There's no other opponents online?
No further opponents online, Mr. Chair.
Okay, last call for opponents in the room. Is there any other? All right. We'll go to informational witnesses. Is there any informational witnesses in the room? Seeing none. Is there any informational witnesses online?
No informational witnesses online, Mr. Chair.
Okay, we'll open it up to questions from the committee. Representative Curdy, you have a question?
Yes. Mr. Chair, for Senator Fox.
Mr. Chair, and Representative
Curdy.
Early. Mr. Chair and Senator Fox, so one concept was mentioned here by Mr. Azure that I think the committee needs to understand, and that's a term, Indian Trust Land. Could you define for the committee Indian Trust Land?
There's three types of lands on Indian reservations. There's simple fee land, where you got a title to it. There's individual trust land. It's still held in trust by the federal government. And there's tribal trust land that's owned by basically all the people that's held in trust by the federal government.
Mr. Chair, follow up?
Follow up.
So, Mr. Chair, Senator Fox, so is there any Indian trust land off the reservation?
There are some, Mr. Chair, Representative, excuse me. There are some. It's held by Turtle Mountain, scattered throughout northern Montana. That's trust land off the reservation. And that's most of that is managed by Fort Belknap.
So, Mr. Chair, follow-up.
Follow-up.
So, Mr. Chair, Senator Fox, so how does this bill apply to that trust land sitting outside of the reservation in terms of the definition of bison?
I'm not sure. I would have to, kick that off to an attorney, Major Russell, Mr. Chair, Representative.
Mr. Chair, redirect.
Yeah, you can redirect.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. Mr. Chair, for Majel Russell.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative. So if we're talking about the lands held off reservation in trust status by Turtle Mountain tribal members, the jurisdiction is very confusing. Because while those lands are outside an Indian reservation, they still are held in trust status. And so there's a question about whether or not the state laws would apply to those lands. However, as far as I do know, those are very small tracts of land that are often held by a very large number of interest owners. And I'm not aware that there have been any Buffalo Restoration activities that involve any of those lands.
Any other questions from the committee? Representative Malone.
Mr. Chair, a question for one of the tribal attorneys. Whomever.
Which one do you want? Ms. Russell?
Ms. Russell, please. Okay. Mr. Chair, Ms. Russell, once the bison get across the reservation boundary, they are exempt from per capita fees, are they not?
Mr. Chair, Representative, yes, I would assume that there are no, there is not a mechanism for the state to attempt to assess the fee once the buffalo are within the reservation boundaries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? Vice Chair Olson, you have a question?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, for the sponsor, please.
Mr. Chair, Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Representative Homeland. I guess my question goes to a couple of the things raised by the opponents, which is that they indicate that rather than this bill making it more clear what is wild bison, it actually makes it less clear. And I'm wondering why you didn't consult with the tribes, which I agree is required by Montana law. And then I'm wondering why you didn't consult with this group that's been working for 10 years to address these issues. And I'm wondering, or if you did or if you didn't, but if you didn't, why not? And I'm concerned we are making this more definition more confusing, because now I'm more confused. I'm wondering if you could clarify that as well. So I think that's three questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, Representative Olson, you've covered a couple of things that I was going to cover when, in my closing, but one of them was that I did consult last session this very same bill, and the reason that lines 17 and 18 are in here was because of when I consulted with the Native Americans, because we had the discussion with them, and they were fine with this bill the way it was written with that line 17 and 18 in there. So they have been consulted. Most of the ones that I consulted with are still here. As far as going in to these people, these other people are talking about, I didn't even know they existed. So how would I have made contact with them? You have a third question? I didn't remember.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Holmland, I agree. I asked too many questions at once. I apologize. I think my biggest question really is that you stated that the intent of the bill was to bring clarity, and yet it does seem that we are making the definition more confusing, even though we have already a working definition that all these people have been working on. And so that was sort of a big concern of the opponents, and I'm wondering if you could address that for me.
Okay. As far as muddying the waters, I see it just the opposite. I see that this is actually making it clear as to exactly what a domestic bison is. If I were trying to muddy the waters, I would have put in something that would have been way outlandish, and this is not. This is something that actually restricts the ability to have an animal that has had per capita be able to become a wild buffalo, and that's really all that this is doing. This is not muddying the waters. I've got several other things that I'll cover when I close, but there is no intention here to muddy the waters. In fact, just the opposite is true.
Thank you, Mr. Holmland. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I should have just let you close. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. Representative Marshall, you have a question? Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought you raised your hand. Is there any other questions from the committee? Oh, Representative Smith.
Yeah, for the sponsor, please.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith.
The sponsor. On page 2, on item 6, line A, has never been reduced to captivity. Okay, all of these buffalo that are bison or whatever you want to call them that have been on the reservation have been in quarantine. Am I wrong by associating that they were in captivity?
Okay. Mr. Chair, Representative Smith, this is another part of what I was going to close. You need to understand the only thing that's changed in this bill is the fact that they can't be if they paid per capita. In Section 81.1.101, currently in law, it defines wild buffalo as never having been reduced to captivity and is not owned by a person. You can look it up. 81.1.101. That's already in law. I did not change a thing about that.
Follow up.
Okay. And item C, it never been owned by a person. Then you go back to page 6. Line 19, item 22, a person means an individual, associated, partnership, and corporation. Okay, when they go on a reservation, they're owned by all the tribal member, which is like a corporation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So how do you get around that?
That's also been part of the law for years. I did not change that one bit. So affects it that way, it affected it that way before. Was not changed here.
Follow up.
You'd mentioned that you'd consulted with the tribes. Now, we had Chairman Azure on the phone, or on on the computer, and he says that you've never been consulted, or he had never been consulted. Which tribes have you consulted with?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Smith, what I said was I consulted with legislators that were here last session. I couldn't tell you which tribe, but it doesn't matter to me what a person belongs to. I consulted with them, and they're the ones that brought this Part B, this per capita fee may not be imposed on bison. That was brought by their direction, and when that came in, they were perfectly fine with the bill. This was done last session.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, any other questions from the committee? Vice Chair Olson, you have another question?
Yeah, just a quick question for Ms. Russell, please.
Yes, I am here.
Thank you, Ms. Russell. Mr. Chair, Ms. Russell, I think there's a little bit of confusion about what's required under the obligation of the state to consult with tribes. Would you mind describing that procedure a little bit? And if you think it's relevant, that might be helpful for all of us.
So our understanding of consultation with the tribes means that you actually contact the leadership of each tribe and basically set up a dialogue with those tribes. And we do have our reservations, which each have a tribal government, and that is actually easy to find. Our state Commissioner of Indian Affairs has a listing of all of the tribes and tribal leaders so that those tribes can be notified, and that's how consultation works. And actually, each of the tribes are an independent government. They are each an independent sovereign government. And so what works for a particular tribe may be different for another tribe. And so that's why consultation is very important, in that you're including all of those tribes to have a opinion on whatever legislation is being proposed. So just contacting somebody who's Native American, who is in some role but not in a leadership position with the tribe, does not satisfy the requirements of tribal consultation.
You're muted, Ms.
Ms. Russell. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Is there any other questions from the committee? Okay, seeing no further questions, Representative Holman, would you like to close on your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and those on Zoom. I appreciate the robust discussion. Brought up a lot of things that I had never even considered, but I do have several things that I need to address. When we're talking lines 17 and 18, we say a per capita is imposed. Tribal members do not pay. They do not pay per capita now if they own buffalo that are on the land. That's the same wording as what's here. So if they don't pay it now, why would they pay it if we're going to be going to domestic buffalo? So that has not changed either. Line 17 and 18 in Section 1. Tribes will not pay, and neither will tribe members pay per capita based on this bill. I've also mentioned that never been reduced to captivity is in current law. We're not changing that at all. An opponent mentioned that we are referring to 818-101 and MCA. That's not in the bill. I don't know which. I went and checked. They were correct. 818-101 has been repealed, but it is not in this bill. I don't know if she was referring to 811-101, the definitions. I don't know where that came from. So the idea that we're muddying the waters and by making something a little more clear, I don't understand the connection there. We have made this as clear as we can possibly do with as short of a definition as we can. They have to meet all three criteria in order to not qualify. So I don't see how the waters are muddied by the definitions that we've put in there. If they can show me exactly how without just saying something, then I would be listening to them. But I do not see that. I appreciate you again, your listening, your testimony that it was heard, the questions that were asked. But I do ask for a due pass on House Bill 318. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Holtman. This closes the hearing on House Bill 318. Okay, let's take like a 5-minute break. Is that good to move into the next bill? House of Ag is stand to recess.
Sure. House Ag is having a few technical difficulties right now, and so we will still be at recess for probably 5 more minutes, maybe, hoping we get everything figured out. Thanks for your patience. House Agriculture will come back to order. Representative Kazmaier, would you like to, Chair Kazmaier, would you like to present on your bill? And this House Bill 302.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair and committee members. House Bill 302 is a bill enacted requiring authorization of Board of County Commissioners before wild buffalo or wild bison are released into the county. So this is a simple local control bill. Why I bring it before you is because I do strongly believe that locals need to have input before the state starts relocating wild animals into their counties. Because the ones that are going to be dealing with this problem are the local officials. Especially with wild bison, it's not like wild bison get into a rancher's herd, they're not going to be able to just jump on a horse or four-wheeler and chase them out of there. Bisons are a little different when it comes to chasing them. So, and I want to point out in this bill that we do not have jurisdiction over tribes. So the state cannot prevent wild bison from being relocated to the tribal entities. And there is an amendment to this bill. It is drafted going through final edit. I am removing section 3 of the bill that deals with the growth policy. So that will be section 3 will use of adopted growth policy will be removed, hopefully during executive action. So with that, I will close and listen to the opponents and proponents and stand for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Kazmaier. So now we'll hear from proponents, and we're going to allow 35 minutes for each side. So the first proponent in the room.
Good afternoon, Madam Chairwoman, members of the committee. For the record, again, Nicole Rolfe, R-O-L-F, representing the Montana Farm Bureau Federation in support of House Bill 302, especially with the changes that the sponsor is bringing forward. I couldn't emphasize enough that this is about local control. Completely agree with him. And, our members believe that county commissioners are the closest to them, their constituents, and are able to get to gauge whether or not a population of wild bison would be tolerated in their local communities. Our members oppose the establishment of wild and free-roaming bison in their counties, in their home areas, for a variety of reasons, including the threat of property damage, the competition for scarce resources like grass and water on already stressed landscapes. And of course, we've heard discussions about the concerns related to brucellosis. This bill, I also want to point out, does not completely stop the, establishment or transportation of wild bison at all. It just gives the county commissioners some input here. So if there is an event where there's an effort to move or establish a herd of wild bison into the state somewhere, there would be a little bit of a check and a balance. And so if there are communities that aren't willing to bring the wild bison to them, then that's something their county commissioners can discuss. But there are certainly communities where they're not welcome. So I also would point out that this bill does not interfere with the transfer to tribal entities, which is noted on the first page in section 1.3. And I think it's a good bill. It's a reasonable, provides reasonable checks and balances, and I'd ask for a due pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Rolfe.
Members of the committee, my name is Charles Deneau, D-E-N-O-W-H, here on behalf of United Property Owners of Montana. With any wildlife species, there are benefits and costs. And typically, the benefits accrue to the public at large. In the case of wild bison, there's a lot of people that appreciate wild bison. They gain some form of utility from having wild bison out in the landscape. But we have to remember that there's costs, too. And those are borne almost entirely by landowners. Costs in terms of lost feed and forage that would come with wild bison, but most significantly the risk of a disease transmission. That's entirely borne by the landowners in the situation with wild bison. So we think it's entirely appropriate that landowners have some layer of protection in this bill by being able to go to their local governments and weigh in. Those county commissioners are closest to the people in their county. They know what's best for their county. So we urge your favorable consideration of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Next proponent.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jay Bodner, representing the Montana Stock Growers Association. We would agree with the previous proponents. I'd like to thank the sponsor for bringing this bill. This is a bill that we have seen before in previous legislatures, but I think it is important in Section 1 to really walk through, and it was mentioned earlier in previous testimony that it does lay out a process for the board of for the county commissioners to really walk through. So there's a set of criteria. They have to be brucellosis free. It doesn't threaten public health, safety, and welfare. So they're really looking out for the county, for the citizens of that county. And we do think it is important to have that local input, that local look at how does this impact us right here in our county. So I think those are important provisions within this bill. We think this is certainly a good bill. I think it's well written. I think it is important to also notice that the fiscal note zero, so that's always a good thing. And with that, we do stand in support of House Bill 302. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Next proponent.
Madam Chair, for the record, Jason Riddle, RITTAL, here representing the Montana Association of Counties. As could be expected, anytime we are talking about local control specific to counties, most likely we're going to be an advocate for that, and in this case we are too, with the caveat that the sponsor and you all put on the amendments that were discussed earlier. So I hope I can have a little bit of latitude. I was initially thinking I would be in opposition because of the amendment, but because it was discussed, I'm hoping that I can be a proponent. Obviously, we are just fine with the local control of if the animal is certified as brucellosis-free, and we obviously do not want any threats to our public health, safety, or welfare of the citizens of our counties. Where we draw the line is the consistency with the elements of a growth policy, and why we draw the line there is we do not want to turn our growth policies into regulatory documents. They are guidance documents, which then lead to regulatory documents. Growth policy sets parameters and general guidelines on what sort of like a business plan would. Subdivision regulations are the regulations. We do not want to turn a growth policy into a regulatory document. So with the amendments as proposed by the sponsor, we would support. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponents? Ms. Swain, do we have proponents online?
Madam Chair, we have one proponent online, Jerry Collins.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Collins.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Jerry Collins, C-O-L-L-I-N-S, Commissioner in Garfield County. The proponents have already kind of took the wind out of my sail on what they said, but I'll just bring it down to a local level. I already hear about agriculture, which is our biggest industry here in Garfield County. And we also works with the state's wildlife and with the populations of elk and stuff we have. I hear how the fences are tore out. Now they're having to build around haystacks and crop loss. So I support this bill. I agree that the county commissioners and this board supports the other two members too, but should have a little say in what comes in. Buffalo are a pretty big outfit and they can do a lot of stuff. We had one that moved all the way from Hingamar, came up to almost Sound Springs, and then traveled and was finally shot south of Cohagen. So they do travel. They don't stay on federal and state land unless they have a really good fence to hold them. So we support this bill, and I thank you for the time.
Thank you, Commissioner. And I believe that's all of our proponents. So let's go to opponents in the room, please.
Madam Chair, Committee, Senator Mike Fox, last name F-O-X, again, Senate District 16. Stand in opposition to House Bill 302. We see this as an unnecessary bill. There's everything in place to protect the livestock industry, including state vet, the local vet, and all the laws that APHIS requires before buffalo are transferred out of the park already. So you've got to jump through so many hoops. There's the quarantine protocol even before they leave the Yellowstone area, those in particular. But other animals coming in from out of state, they require the same type of testing. And so we see this as an unnecessary law that buffalo producers, buffalo people have to go through, as opposed to other cattle producers. They've got to go to ask permission to their local county commissioners, to bring animals in. And, I guess as, somebody that's breeding Angus, his neighbor wants to bring in red Angus, he's going to oppose it, and, you have to get the clearance from the county to, bring in red Angus. That's how minute this bill is. It's getting down to, what color is your cow? And I think it's just, and it also falls in line with getting in the way of a government-government relationship that Montana has with the tribes. This relationship, especially dealing with the buffalo problem in Yellowstone, has grown stronger over the past 30 years or so. I've been dealing with this problem, since the mid-90s, when that first big buffalo kill went on down in Yellowstone. And we've been trying to become part of the solution and not the problem. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, Mike Nelson, NELSON, rising in opposition to House Bill 302. To follow on what Senator Fox has said, there's already plenty of legislation to thwart any efforts of reintroduction in the state of Montana. But this bill, as is written, would seem to interfere with Montanans' constitutional right to engage in the discussions of any possible reintroduction efforts, while also giving veto power, regardless of the decision, to a group of county commissioners. While I do agree that local accountability is key and information is vital, I think that this bill should be rejected. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Eric Melson. Similar but different to Mr. Nelson here, it's spelled M-E-L-S-O-N. I'm here today representing the Montana chapter of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers to oppose HB 302. This bill will take away the authority for Fish, Wildlife, and Parks to possibly restore wild bison in Montana. Giving county commissioners veto power over any relocation or reintroduction of wild bison into their respective counties would undermine FWP and be highly irregular, given Montana's history of state-based wildlife management for the benefit of all Montanans. Granting county commissioners veto power over wildlife decisions would set a dangerous and wholly inappropriate precedent for wildlife management in Montana. We ask that you table HB 302. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Next opponent, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Sorry, I'm short. My name is Kelly Tutteth, and for the record, you spell that T-W-O-T-E-E-T-H. I am here with Montana Native Vote. And Montana Native Vote would just like to firmly express to this committee that we are against House Bill 302. It grants hyper-partisan power to county commissioners to how bison are introduced into not only our traditional native lands, but all the area we share in the land now called Montana. I think it is important to recognize that the land we're standing on today belonged to the Blackfeet Nation, Askapibokani, who I am a proud descendant of. House Bill 302 directly undermines all the years of hard work Indigenous peoples have put into bringing bison back into our land. All land in Montana belongs to Indigenous people. And wherever you are and wherever you represent Indigenous constituents. So I find it ridiculous that proponents before have said we don't want bison here and they're not welcome on our land. You obviously aren't talking to all of your constituents. All bills are Indigenous, including this one, and it affects Indigenous people. Please vote no on House Bill 302.
Thank you. Now we'll go to opponents online. And just as a reminder, we have 31 minutes left for testimony on the opponent side. Please state your name and who you represent and spell your last name, please. Ms. Swain, the first opponent online.
Madam Chair, we have Lori Little Dog.
Yes, Madam Chair, this is Lori Little Dog, LITTLEDOG, and I rise to oppose House Bill 302. I appreciate the sponsor's acknowledgement that they do not have jurisdiction on this matter and the amendment removing Section 3. And, you know, it's stated that it seems like they're going to try and proceed with the bill. And I just want to reiterate that the county it can't insert itself into a nation-to-nation relationship. The simple local control just doesn't apply in this matter. And so while the fiscal note may be listed as zero, it's kind of a fantasy because it doesn't take into consideration the hefty legislation fee or the litigation fees that will be incurred if such an unlawful piece of legislation exists. They didn't consult with tribes, to my knowledge, so I would ask for this bill to be wholly tabled or otherwise voted no on for House Bill 302. Thank you.
Thank you. Next opponent, please.
Madam Chair, we have Chami Anderson.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Chami Anderson, A-N-D-E-R-S-E-N, Senior Representative of Defenders of Wildlife. I'm speaking on behalf of these bison bills and for our members, 5,000 in Montana. We oppose House Bill 302. Require county approval to relocate bison. Montana's bison are on the path to recovery in the state, but this bill threatens to derail restoration on public lands. House Bill 302 would strip state wildlife managers of their authority to manage and restore wild bison in Montana, instead giving individual counties the power to decide. Like Mrs. Little Dog said, local control does not apply here, giving counties the ability to veto any proposed relocation or translocation of wild bison is a major departure of Montana's proud and effective wildlife management for the benefit of all residents. This bill would be a clear overreach by county government for decisions about the future of wild bison, setting a bad and dangerous precedent, as has been mentioned. And bottom line, usurping state wildlife authority over wild bison restoration. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks is well equipped to play this important role. In 2011, the legislature passed Senate Bill 212. So in statute, there is an exhausted list of requirements and duties that must be met before the state may establish a new wild bison herd. Again, on a limited basis and under a proposal that would go to the state agency and commission. Under current law, the agency must already provide the opportunity for public comment and hold a hearing in the affected county or counties and prior to making a decision whether to relocate bison. But despite this directive, this bill would undermine this process clearly and take drastic steps out of giving local governments the absolute veto power over any such plan. Again, this is the role of our state wildlife agency and the commission to look at these proposals, have their public hearings at that state wildlife management level. This bill is an overreach of government. If it becomes law, similar attempts to hand over the management reins to local governments for any wildlife species that may be of concern for a landowner conflict. I mean, it is just hard to imagine a more ineffective way to undermine Montana's wildlife authority and the state role. Please vote no on House Bill 302, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Next opponent, please.
Madam Chair, we have Kit Fisher.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Kit Fisher, F-I-S-C-H-E-R. I'm the Director of Wildlife Programs for National Wildlife Federation, based in Missoula. This bill sets a terrible precedent with implications extending beyond bison. Were House Bill 302 to become law, future legislatures could predictably draw on this precedent to hand over to county commissioners ultimate management authority for other locally controversial species, including elk, bears, wolves, and sage grouse. HB 302 typifies an approach that could, in short order, unravel socially, culturally, ecologically, and economically valuable wildlife resources that have been more than a century in the making through responsible, effective state management. Existing law requires FWP to follow an extensive public process before making any decision to establish any new wild bison herd. The department has outlined a rigorous process for any future bison restoration proposals. HB 302 ignores and seeks to override the department's cooperative and measured process, and the bill undermines Montana's traditional and effective approach to managing wildlife as a state resource managed in trust for all Montanans. We respectfully ask for do not pass.
Thank you. Next opponent.
Madam Chair, we have Amy McNamara.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Amy McNamara, M-C-N-A-M-A-R-A, and I'm the Northern Rockies Director for the Natural Resources Defense Council. We stand in opposition to House Bill 302. In Montana, wildlife is held in trust for the benefit of all citizens of our state. It is the Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks' responsibility to manage the state's wildlife, including brucellosis-free wild bison. Fish, Wildlife, and Parks is well-equipped to manage wildlife. It has professional staff trained and qualified to make informed decisions about fish and wildlife management, clear public processes to engage state residents as well as its elected officials, and in this case, including county commissioners, and a commission that's appointed by the governor to vet the agency's actions and decisions. HB 302 suggests that county commissioners who don't have wildlife management expertise are better qualified to make fish and wildlife decisions for the state than the state's own wildlife professionals. I deeply value my county commissioners and the role they play in managing the county I live in, including weighing in on natural resource issues that affect the county. However, they are not elected to make wildlife management decisions. HB 302 will get in the way of Montana's obligation to manage bison as well as all wildlife for the benefit of all of its citizens. It represents a radical departure from Montana's current approach to wildlife management, and it's out of step with how Montanans expect wildlife decisions to be made in our great state. For these reasons, I ask you to vote no on House Bill 302.
Thank you. Next opponent.
Madam Chair, we have Thomas Elpel.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, thank you. My name is Thomas Elpel. That's E-L, P as in Paul, E-L. I live in Pony, Montana, District 71. And 3 points I'd like to make. The first is that in 2019, I took 5 months to paddle down the Missouri River in a dugout canoe from Three Forks to St. Louis, following the Lewis and Clark National Historic Trail. And the Lewis and Clark journals just described indescribably large herds of bison on a near daily basis. So it was really strange to paddle the trail and not to see any bison, along the river there. And so it's like, obviously we're not going to bring back the times of Lewis and Clark, but to at least have one herd of bison on the Lewis and Clark National Historic Trail would be terrific. And I was really surprised, actually, to not really see any cows either, about one per mile along the entire length of the Missouri River, and many public lands that had not been grazed in many years. So there's no shortage of food for them. The second point is economic, that, restoring a public trust wild bison herd in the state brings in tourism dollars and can bring in hunting dollars as well. And that is just so critical to our small towns in Montana that every dollar really counts to grocery stores, restaurants, hotels, gas stations. And once those dollars come into a community, they circulate and they benefit everyone. So we just can't afford to leave that money off the table here, that we need to get that money circulating to the benefit of our small towns. And the third point is just the precedent of counties overruling the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. It seems like an extremely bad precedent that could lead in the future to counties dictating different fishing laws and takes that would, you know, just really complicate wildlife management in the state if we start going down this road. Is that Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, they're equipped with the people and, you know, the resources to deal with wildlife, and they should continue to have that role. So I would ask that you table or oppose HB 302. Thank you.
Thank you. Next opponent, please.
Madam Chair, we have Eric Clewis.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Eric Clewis. That's E-R-I-C-C-L-E-W-I-S. And I'm here representing the Montana Wildlife Federation. NWF opposes House Bill 302. Wild bison are a public trust natural resource held in trust by the state, not counties. To put it plainly, counties do not and should not take the lead in wildlife management in Montana. County commissions do not have the capacity, staff, or professional background to enable them to make decisions based within the best available science. That doesn't mean that they can't weigh in, and in fact, they do. Montana FWP area biologists talk to county commissioners all the time. It's a partnership, and FWP has the trained biologists to understand wildlife management. Counties know their landscape and the hunters and landowners in their area. They must and do work together. To require county commission approval for relocating bison will only serve to complicate this process while also weakening the authority of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks and the Fish and Wildlife Commission to make these decisions. So we respectfully ask that HB 302 is tabled. Thank you.
Thank you. Next opponent, please.
Madam Chair, we have Floyd Azure.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Floyd Azure, A-Z-U-R-E. I am the chairman of the Assiniboine Sioux Tribe of the Fort Peck Indian Reservation. I ask the committee table House Bill 302. The tribes have built and maintained a state-of-the-art buffalo testing facility to participate in the Yellowstone Buffalo Conservation Transfer Program. The program's goal is to transfer brucellosis-free buffalo to Indian reservations and decrease the amount of Yellowstone buffalo sent to slaughter. The program consists of a three-phase testing protocol, including capture and accepting brucellosis-free buffalo, a specified holding and testing period, and assurance testing phase. MCA 81-2-120 illegally prevents the tribes from doing the second phase of testing. Instead, the tribes can only do phase three after APHIS has already declared the buffalo are brucellosis-free. House Bill 302 does not correct any of the problems with MCA 81-2-120. House Bill 302 still requires a state veterinarian to certify buffalo as brucellosis-free before they can be transferred to a tribe, and allows the department to adopt rules governing tribal participation in the program. The state veterinarian does not have jurisdiction within the Yellowstone National Park or tribal boundaries. Fort Peck tribes are a sovereign, domestic dependent nation and have sole jurisdiction for the management of the buffalo on a reservation. Montana Constitution Article 1 states, all lands owned or held by any Indian or Indian tribe shall remain under the absolute jurisdiction and control of Congress of the United States. Fort Peck Tribe's facility is located on tribal trust land, and therefore state regulations should not be allowed to affect it. In addition, Article 10, Section 1 declares the state recognizes the distinct and unique cultural heritage of the American Indians. Buffalo are incredibly important to Montana tribes. Buffalo are used for hunting and cultural purposes and have done so since immemorable. State regulation should not come between buffalo and tribal people. Excuse my mouth is dry. The program is a transfer of wildlife from the park to the tribes. The park has authority to transfer buffalo to tribes under federal law. The U.S. Supreme Court has decided that such wildlife transfers from federal agencies to tribes are not subject to state regulation. The state does not contribute any resources to the program. The state's only role is to certify the buffalo as brucellosis-free before they are transferred to the tribes. However, this role, purely ceremonial, APHIS and a park interpret the tests at their facilities, and APHIS epidemiologists determine whether the buffalo are brucellosis-free after testing. Thus, the state veterinarian acts as a rubber stamp for the decisions federal agencies have already made. Yet this rubber stamp has prevented the tribes from participating in earlier phases of the program. This has led to more buffalo to be shipped to slaughter. Finally, House Bill 302 leaves the department's ability to adopt rules governing tribal participation in the program. Because tribes are sovereign entities, state agencies do not have that power. Therefore, I ask that you vote no on House Bill 302. Thank you.
Thank you. And just as a reminder, all testimony is very important, and we appreciate you being here. But if it keep your comments to the bill and try not to repeat what's already been testified on, please. Next opponent, please, Ms. Swain.
Madam Chair, we have Brooke Schifrin.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Brooke Schifrin, S-H-I-F-R-I-N, and I'm speaking to you on behalf of Greater Yellowstone Coalition and our 7,000 supporters in Montana in opposition to House Bill 302. As we've heard, giving county commissioners veto authority over proposed translocations of wild bison to public lands in Montana gives politicians the decision-making authority over state wildlife managers. And this will inject politics and divisiveness into what should really be a thoughtful, science-based, and public-based process. Allowing counties the absolute authority to decide whether or not bison are welcome runs counter to over 120 years of wildlife conservation history in Montana. It erodes the public's ownership of wild bison and sets a bad precedent that will surely erode the public's ownership of other wildlife species. This bill really does represent a clear overreach by county governments to make decisions about the future of wild bison. And it has already been mentioned, but I do think it's really important to recognize that current law already requires that prior to any bison translocation, Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks must hold a public hearing in the affected county or counties. So in other words, there's already a process in place to ensure that county concerns are considered. However, if passed, House Bill 302 would really pave the way for other attempts to seize control of wildlife management from state wildlife professionals and give it to county commissioners. So we urge you to oppose this bill, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next opponent, please.
Madam Chair, we have Dan Bailey.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the House Ag Committee. My name is Dan Bailey, B-A-I-L-E-Y, and I serve as the Yellowstone Program Manager for the National Parks Conservation Association based in Livingston. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to submit testimony on House Bill number 302 on behalf of the National Parks Conservation Association and our more than 7,500 members and supporters across Montana. NPCA strongly opposes House Bill 302 and urges this committee to oppose this proposed legislation, which sets a dangerous precedent for fish and wildlife management by enabling individual county regulations to supersede state management. Montana has established a wildlife stewardship legacy that is world-renowned by managing species under the public trust doctrine. Wildlife management, including the management of wild bison, should remain under the jurisdiction of Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks professionals and the Fish and Wildlife Commission, which relies on scientific evaluation and public engagement to make decisions related to the management of fish and wildlife on behalf of all Montanans. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Next opponent, please.
Madam Chair, we have Adrian Jawart.
Good late afternoon to the chair and committee. My name is Adrian Jawart, and my last name is spelled J-A-W-O-R-T. I am also testifying against HB 302 on behalf of Montana Native Vote. Firstly, there's been no known scientific brucellosis transmission of bison to cattle in history, but there has been vice versa. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, between 2002 and 2012, brucellosis was discovered in 17 cattle herds, and all of it was from elk. I am noting this because you don't see panic against elk and then them being slaughtered by the literal thousands in, let's say, the Missouri Breaks. And all Montanans have a right to have bison reintroduced on Montana lands under already under our already stringent guidelines, not be beholden to a board of likely county commissioners, beholden to a small segment who already openly view bison as a hostile competitive threat, as you have witnessed. Why, I'm not apathetic to cattle ranchers' livelihoods. There's no way to put this other than bluntly. I do find it disingenuous. They think they should have the sole public grazing rights to all public lands all Montanans are supposed to own, and then abuse that granted welfare as a dictatorial permission to shut down the rest of the state's say in any matters regarding said public lands. And this includes treaty lands where tribes were promised they could hunt bison. And I will end this by getting to the heart of the matter, an elephant in the room, that is the American Prairie Reserve and their plans to reintroduce bison wildlife to their natural habitat, because I feel that's exactly what this bill had in mind as a dubious reason to explicitly deny them to have legally obtained wild bison on their lands. And while I may not agree with the American Prairie Reserve 100% on issues, I do respect the fact they're reintroducing a wild animal back to Montana lands we all enjoy. And we should not be beholden to the whims of fear-mongering against an indigenous animal we natives deem sacred and has been here since woolly mammoths roamed this area. Thank you.
Thank you. Next opponent, please.
Madam Chair, we have Daniel Vasquez.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Thank you for allowing me to speak today. My name is Danielle Vasquez, and for the record, that's V-A-Z-Q-U-E-Z. And today I'm speaking on behalf of both myself and the Indigenous Organizers Collective of Montana, a group of dedicated, independent, and organizationally affiliated Indigenous organizers across the state of Montana who work to amplify Indigenous voices and track policies that greatly impact reservation, rural, and urban natives in Montana. And we rise up in opposition to HB 302 as we believe this is a direct infringement on tribal sovereignty, as well as a clear example of local government overreach. Again, asking you to vote no on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Next opponent, please.
Madam Chair, we have Delilah Kilsback.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Dahlia Kilsback, last name spelled K-I-L-L-S-B-A-C-K, and I represent Western Native Voice. Our organization urges this committee to table House Bill 302, not to completely reiterate Chairman Azure's and Senator Fox's comments, but we believe that this impacts the state's role and ultimately the government-to-government relationship with tribal nations, and we have concerns for tribal sovereignty, as some of our fellow opponents have already stated. And to also reiterate, we have concerns for the restoration of bison populations. The decimation of bison populations only stopped in 1889, which is also the year that Montana became a state. It was not too long ago. And to not forget that bison, their population and revitalization is vital to our communities, especially our tribal nations, and to not forget that this decimation was the means to oppress and acculturate our Indigenous peoples. So again, we urge you to oppose this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Next opponent, please.
Madam Chair, we have Don Warner.
Are they there?
Madam Chair, there we go.
Thank you, Don. Mr. Warner, go ahead, please. Ms. Swain, it looks like we're having difficulties. Can we get back to him in a little bit? Next opponent, please.
Yes, Madam Chair, we have Amy Seaman.
Hi, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Amy Seaman, S-E-A-M-A-N, for the record here on Montana Audubon, in opposition to House Bill 302. And just to touch on a few additional questions and comments to add to the other opponents, just to thinking back again to 2011 that we referenced earlier, which set up the program that we currently have for governing the translocation of bison, and can't help but think about listening to that hearing almost every year that we do this bill, where many, if not all, of the county commissioners came in just extremely strong support, because this bill set up a good process that involved both the public, but is science-based. It hopefully addressed issues that livestock had with disease management, et cetera. And as far as what we've seen, there haven't been major tests to this piece of legislation. And so we're really not sure what's changed in the last few years to make this dramatic of a change to the law. It actually would only be the fourth instance where counties really have control over our public trust resources, like you've heard allude to a bit. And even within the proponent's testimony, the mention that you're actually able to take a bison if it escapes the area that it's supposed to be is something that's managed by Fish Wildlife Parks. They're able to take animals, and those provisions are set up within the translocation plan. You've heard a few times the strength of having a MEPA or public input and environmental analysis during these efforts, so there's a lot of opportunity for local input. I think some of the questions that have not come up or been answered today is just the questions of about how a county would move forward if bison were to move to lands where they span adjacent county boundaries. So how would dual counties deal with this? Does one county have authority over another county, et cetera? So again, kind of what would have changed now to all of a sudden have counties not in alignment to where this bill is. In addition, in 2012, when it passed, it was touted as a huge protection measure for Montana's private property rights owners, again, because of the public process. We want to know what has changed there. Granting commissioners authority over private land decisions is a whole other, I guess, can of worms. Not something Montana Audubon thinks about as much, but other organizations certainly, and certainly many of, and again, we're just not really sure what has changed. The final thing I'll just add is thinking about counties' positions to deal with the financial burden of the contingency plans as far as human health and safety, where again, Fish Wildlife Parks really is able to take on that burden, as are the tribes. And I think that has been definitely demonstrated as well. And then one final layer is, in addition to the MEPA analysis, there's also Fish Wildlife Parks Commission involvement. So again, an opportunity for the public to have their voice heard. So with that, we do ask that you table Bill 302, and thanks for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you. Next opponent, please.
Madam Chair, we have Majel Russell.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Majel Russell, R-U-S-S-E-L-L, and I am legal counsel for Intertribal Buffalo Council and the Assiniboine and Sioux Tribes of Fort Peck. I don't want to repeat anything that's already been stated, but I do have to state that, again, I don't think we had adequate tribal consultation on this, and I don't think that we complied with the state tribal relations policy. I know that they're trying to create an exception here to make this more friendly to tribes, but if you look at that exception, it says that the state actually would determine, or they say to a qualified tribal entity, what is a qualified tribal entity? How would that work? We don't know, and really, does the state have authority to tell a tribe whether or not they have a qualified buffalo program? It also seems to focus on just bringing animals from Yellowstone to Indian reservation lands, but we have a lot of buffalo that come from other national parks, like over in the Dakotas or other places that we're translocating to tribal lands. And so does that mean that the county would be able to have some say as those animals travel across Montana from one place to get to a tribal reservation? And if so, that is absolutely unworkable and actually impractical. So what happens if we, the Intertribal Buffalo Council, pay to have a huge number of animals transferred, say, from a park in North Dakota or South Dakota, and the vet has already certified them as disease-free, we have a permit to bring them in, and yet we have to go from county to county to county and get permission from those county commissioners who have really no interest in the objectives of a tribe to restore buffalo to their lands. And what if they say no? Then what? The bill seems to be impractical. It doesn't seem to have clearly thought out those kinds of problems that may occur. And while it looks like they've tried to create an exception to deal with tribes, really they haven't, because we are not clear what an affected county is, and we're also not clear what it means to have a qualified tribal entity, and it doesn't address the issue of bringing animals from anywhere else other than Yellowstone. It focuses on that. So with those questions, and not to take any further time, I would urge a do not pass on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Next opponent, please.
Madam Chair, we have Jim Bailey.
Mr. Bailey, go ahead.
Madam Chairperson, I am Jim Bailey, spelled B as in boy, A-I-L-E-Y. I'm coordinator of the Montana Wild Bison Restoration Coalition. The issue of bison restoration is a large and complex issue. See much more about it on our website at mtwildbison.org. But today I intend to limit myself to constitutional, statutory, and public trust issues of House Bill 302. Article 9 of our Constitution mandates the legislature to prevent unreasonable depletion and degradation of natural resources, to provide for restoration of historic, scientific, cultural, and recreational objects for their use and enjoyment by the people, and states the opportunity to harvest wild game animals is a heritage that shall forever be preserved to the individual citizens of the state. We think all those mandates apply to public trust wild bison. In response to these mandates, the legislature has established guidelines for restoring public trust wild bison while protecting and indemnifying private property and avoiding any risk of brucellosis transmission to cattle. That bill is MCA 871216. This law allows a private landowner to accept and enjoy wild bison on their property. House Bill 302 could deny that private property right. Efforts to restore wild bison in Montana began 110 years ago, but more recently, 11 years ago, Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks began a process under the Montana Environmental Protection Act to evaluate and possibly proceed with restoring at least one adequate herd of wild bison in the state. A programmatic EIS/plan has been completed, but that MEPA process, with 11 years behind it, is still ongoing. Regarding federal laws, for a federal wildlife refuge, such as the Charles M. Russell National Wildlife Refuge, which, by the way, is the largest national wildlife refuge within the historic range of plains bison in the United States. And for that refuge, the National Wildlife Refuge Administration Act and the goals of the refuge plan cannot be fulfilled without restoring wild bison on the refuge. House Bill 302 could deny that public property right. Mr. Chairperson, allowing one county commission to veto any proposal for bison restoration, even on federal land, any proposal developed with abundant analysis, public outreach, and public input, including from the counties, that will ignore the Montana Constitution or render legislative guidelines in the law for bison restoration meaningless, and for bison restoration render MEPA meaningless, and will attempt to prohibit fulfillment of national laws and policies of the National Wildlife Refuge System. House Bill 302 denies equal protection of the rights of all citizens. It is anti-democracy for all. It must be rejected. Thank you, Madam Chairperson.
Thank you. We have gone over our 35 minutes, so if I could get the rest of the opponents just to state their name, their affiliation, be sure to spell your last name, and any super quick comments would be appreciated. Thank you.
Madam Chair, we have Irving Carlson.
Thank you. Mr. Carlson, please unmute.
Sorry about that. Okay, again, good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Irving Carlson, C-A-R-L-S-O-N, enrolled member of the Blackfeet Nation, director of the Buffalo Program and president of the Intertribal Buffalo Council. I ask the committee to table House Bill 302. I'll be real quick here just on my points. ITBC transfers Buffalo from national parks to Montana tribes. This saves the parks from having to slaughter their buffalo and promotes the tribal cultural and spiritual connection with Buffalo. There are 18 counties within Montana Indian reservations. Transfer of Buffalo to tribes also requires going through other counties. HB 302 applies to affected counties, but does not define what affected means. Does that include counties where buffalo are just passing through? Either way, what happens when a county says it does not want buffalo transferred to tribal lands within the county? Last year, ITBC spent $50,000 in bison transfers and $4,500 in bison transfers to Montana tribes specifically. Counties do not have a legal right to tell tribes they cannot receive buffalo to grow their herds. If a county tried to prevent a buffalo transfer to a tribe, it would be inviting costly litigation, both for the county and the state. And ITBC may also have extra expenses to ship those buffalo. House Bill 302 is unclear and wrongfully attempts to give local governments power to stop tribal buffalo transfers. This would only lead to costly litigation if counties try to exercise this illegal power over tribes or tribal organizations. I ask that you vote no on HB 302, and I thank you very much.
Thank you. Next opponent, please.
Madam Chair, we have Daniel Wenner.
Good afternoon, Madam Chairwoman, members of the committee. My name is Dan Wenner, W-E-N-N-E-R. I'm legal counsel for the Fort Peck Tribes and Intertribal Buffalo Council, and I ask you to vote no on House Bill 302. House Bill 302 requires a state vet to certify buffalo as brucellosis-free before they go to tribes. As Chairman Azure said, the state vet does not have this power, and therefore House Bill 302 illegally tries to grab power from tribes and put it in control of local counties, which is unconstitutional, a violation of tribal treaty rights. I ask you to vote no on House Bill 302. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wenner. Next opponent, please.
Madam Chair, our last opponent online, I'll go back to Dan Warner.
Thank you. Dr. Warner? Dr. Warner, go ahead, please.
Madam Chair, he's unmuted, and I think the issue is on his end.
Dr. Warner, are you there? Ms. Swain, any idea? We've got two screens for him now.
Madam Chair, I'm not sure what's happening or why there are two screens, but it might be an issue with his microphone or his internet connection. I'm not sure, though. My apologies.
Dr. Warner, we'd love to hear your testimony. If you can't get through in the next few seconds here, can you please submit your testimony via email or through the portal online? Oh, the clerk says that we do have it. So if we have no other opponents online, I guess we will go to informational witnesses. Any informational witnesses in the room? Informational witnesses online?
Madam Chair, there are no informational witnesses online.
Okay, seeing none, questions from the committee, please. No questions from the committee? Oh, Representative Marshall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the sponsor, please.
Madam Chair, Representative Walsh, I mean Marshall, sorry.
Madam Chair, Representative Casemere, you know, I heard a lot of testimony here about state lands, you know, from the opponents and transport and through and all that. I think it's pretty well spelled out in the bill. Correct me if I'm wrong, but we're just merely talking about, I mean, a qualified tribe is pretty well spelled out in here, and then it talks about on page 8, line 4, except for the transferred to a qualified tribal entity pursuant to 812.120.1A2I, release, transplant, or relocate any wild buffalo or bison to any state, county, without authorization of the Board of the County Commissioners. I mean, you know, it's pretty clear what we're talking about here. We're not talking about moving, dropping buffalo off in the middle of somebody's county. We're talking, it's okay to move through a county, is it not?
Yes, it is. This bill does not affect transportation of wild bison or any buffalo through the state.
No, follow up.
Follow up.
So, Madam Chair, Representative, so basically this, I mean, the way I'm reading this, it's pretty cut and dried. I see a lot of hype over nothing, really.
Yes, it is. We're not going to prevent that. That is in that code 81-2120.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? Seeing none, Representative Kastmeyer, would you like to close on your bill?
Yes, I would. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. This was a little shock. There was more questions, but that's okay. You know, just with this, you know, with all the opponents, I'd ask why they're scared of local input. We're not saying no bison, no buffalo in the counties. We just want to make sure the landowners, the people that are going to be directly affected, have the ability to be heard. And with the issue with that was brought up, that the local county board is going to be overseeing the wildlife, that's not what this bill is doing. If they are relocated in the county, Fish, Wildlife, and Parks are still going to oversee any wildlife in the state. We are not giving that power to the counties. So, I mean, and we got to be mindful when we start relocating any wild animal in Montana. I mean, look at the wolves, the grizzly bears, and what it's costing our producers, which cost to their bottom line, which affects the state revenues. And we are affecting the state livestock board because we keep increasing that to pay for livestock losses. So I just want to make sure everybody keeps that in mind. As stated, this bill does not prevent traffic through the counties, only relocation inside a county. This bill does not apply to domestic bison. It only gives the county commissioners to have a say in what goes on inside their committees. They are not given the authority to act as state health experts. And it does not affect sovereign tribes or nations. It does defer to the state veterinarian for disease certification. and it does not prevent the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Department of Livestock in transport of wild bison. So with that, I will end on my bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Kastmeyer. This closes the hearing on House Bill 302. Thanks, everyone, for your time today. It's been a long hearing. There is a lot of testimony that is provided in Teams, so be sure to take a look at that. And thank you all.
We didn't actually hear the, did you guys adjourn?